Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's welcome Jason Mastrodonato from the Boston Herald, who is in Houston covering the ALCS and, of course, the birthday party and locker room celebration afterwards. And Jason, I'll say to you the same thing I've said to my listeners. This is certainly not the series that I expected, considering how many wins these two teams accumulated between them. When you think back on this ALCS, what will stand out to you?
Yeah, you know, it's crazy because with baseball, it's always like every year defines the new way of playing the game, right? Like we had different eras where the Kansas City Royals just made contact, and then, you know, last year was the big home run era, and the team that hit the most home runs was going to win. And this year, it's almost kind of gone back to the contact thing with the Red Sox, where they don't strike out a whole lot. They don't give away at bats. I mean, look at all the two-out hits that they had and the two-out RBIs that they had in this series. Their stars hardly even showed up. I mean, J.D. Martinez did not do anything in this series until he hit a home run in the final game. Mookie Betts offensively didn't do a whole lot. Obviously, he had the crazy play over the right field fence two nights ago and made another nice play tonight. But he didn't do a whole lot offensively. Chris Sale hardly pitched in this series and was not great. But it was the rest of the lineup, from top to bottom, a lot of unexpected guys showed up. The starting pitchers pitching out of relief over and over again. I think Alex Cora has squeezed the most out of his roster. I don't think the Red Sox are a more talented team than the Houston Astros. I think Cora just squeezed the most out of these guys, and their style of baseball proved to be better.
Well, how did they mark his birthday then afterwards?
Yeah, they were pretty happy for him. You know, Xander Bogaerts had said last night, because they had won so late, that they were going to get two wins for him on his birthday. And it turns out that they did. You know, they've always really liked playing for him. Ever since he came here in spring training, they felt like there was something different where, you know, and they've talked about it over and over again this year, that the locker room just felt more relaxed and they felt more comfortable. For whatever reason, Cora brought to the team, and everyone says that his personality, the team kind of took that on, where he's really focused, he's hyper-competitive, but he's relaxed, and he's blunt, he's honest, he's a great communicator, and, you know, the players on this team will talk for hours about how much they like playing for him, and it clearly has showed on the field.
I know that he has talked about his time with the Astros a bunch, but looking back and the time that you've covered the team this year with Alex as manager, what did he learn specifically from being part of that experience with Houston winning a World Series last fall?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think probably a lot of things that you saw during the regular season, but the one that stands out to me now since we've gotten into the postseason is the urgency aspect. I mean, if you look at that series with the Yankees, for example, you know, Aaron Boone in his first year as manager, it didn't seem like he had a lot of urgency. It seemed like he was almost managing those games like it was the regular season, you know, trying to get the most out of his starting pitchers and not going to the bullpen and, you know, not using all of his depth on the roster. Cora kind of did the opposite. I think he brought these guys into every game saying, we need to win tonight. And, you know, from game one of the postseason, they were, quote unquote, all in every game, where the starting pitchers who weren't supposed to start that night went to the bullpen. And, you know, the guys who were in the lineup one night might not be in the lineup the next day. And they were just selling out every single day to win that specific game. And I think that's, you know, something that he took from the Astros last year, that you can't take one inning for granted. You can't have one matchup that doesn't benefit your team. If you have a matchup advantage in the second inning, take it, you know, and he'll pinch hit in the fourth inning. So I think the urgent aspect of his managerial style has kind of been on display.
Jason Mastrodonato from the Boston Herald is in Houston after the Red Sox wrap up the ALCS 3-1 and, oh, excuse me, 4-1 and get back to the World Series for the fourth time in 15 years. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Big storyline, of course, is going to be David Price. He's already changed his Twitter to say Astro's father or Astro's daddy or something like that. But what did he have to say about finally earning his first W in a postseason start?
There was just so much relief on his face. You know, I mean, you could see even in moments where he didn't want to smile, he would smile. He just couldn't help it. You know, the biggest thing that he felt like from a pitching standpoint was that last night, all that time he spent warming up in game four, when he was supposed to kind of come in the eighth inning, then maybe in the ninth, he spent almost an hour warming up in the bullpen. And he thinks he found something mechanically that enabled him to fix whatever was going on. He came out today. He said he felt great throwing the ball this morning. He said he was envisioning himself throwing exactly the way he did today, six shutout innings. And his velocity was as high as it's been in 3 or 4 months. And he used his changeup a career high percentage of the time, a pitch that he hasn't had a feel for, and all of a sudden he had a feel for it. It was like everything came together perfectly for David Price in this start. Those were some of the worst swings we've seen from the Astros lineup, and those are some good hitters over there. They just couldn't touch him. The changeup was so affected. He was locked in. He was throwing with good command, with good velocity. That was a different David Price than we've seen in the postseason, possibly ever.
So he's 33, and he finally gets his first win in a start. Of course, he's had plenty of experience going back to his days with Tampa Bay. Then you've got a 21-year-old in Rafael Devers who hits a 3-run home run, and I still am not sure how that ball got out. I thought it was going to be a really loud, high pop-up or a fly-out, and yet it carried all the way to the seats. What was that like for him?
Yeah, it's a great point about that hit. And, you know, talking to the hitting coach about him, I mean, this team is kind of been waiting for this from him. I mean, he's so young, and you know, David Ortiz had a comment in the offseason where he said this guy's this good and he doesn't even know what he's doing because he hasn't learned. He doesn't play. His brain is not actively thinking about baseball the way that other guys do when they've been in the league for a couple of years, where he's just skating by on pure talent. And what happened this year is, you know, he got into some injuries. He lost his starting job because he wasn't playing well. And all of a sudden, he had to make adjustments. And, you know, the mental development of his game, he had to make changes. And we all remember that home run he hit off Aroldis Chapman, 102-mile-an-hour fastball up and outside, and he hammered it to left field. That was what that home run was like tonight. It was almost the same pitch, not quite as far outside, but a high fastball from one of the best pitchers in the game. Mm. And somehow he stays inside and goes to left field. And what the Red Sox think is that's just calmness. That's maturity in him. And, you know, he had a horrible season this year. It led the majors in errors, but the Red Sox don't think he's anything like that player. They still think he's going to be, you know, possibly an MVP candidate going forward, and they're just starting to unlock his potential.
Well, and interestingly enough, Verlander had gotten him on those same fastballs in his earlier at bat, and so for him to be able to hop on the first one he sees to be ready for it and to have that kind of a swing, you can tell that he's processing and he's figuring it out even at 21.
Yeah, no, great point. And he didn't start in game one against Verlander because they were afraid of that Verlander likes to go high with the fastballs, that, you know, Devers wasn't going to be able to adjust. He would end up chasing because he's a free swinger. He hasn't been mature and calm enough in the past to lay off some of those high pitches. And tonight was a different story.
Jason Mastrodonato is in Houston after the Red Sox clinch a spot in the World Series. They'll await either the Dodgers or the Brewers as their next opponent. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. So I don't know if any of the Red Sox would have mentioned it after the game, but certainly there was an element of the social media, the Alex Bregman trolling, and, you know, some of the guys getting upset about it. Did any of them have their opportunity then to clap back? Did anybody say anything?
Yeah, you know, there was one guy, Rick Porcello, has been asked about this. And, you know, he kind of said, well, you know, I'm not sure I want to comment about that. And, we pressed him a little bit. And his final remark was, you know, they could keep talking, but we're going to keep playing. And so there's no doubt that they heard it and they listened to it and they saw it. And they went out there and played some of their best baseball after it happened. I don't I don't think this is a team that necessarily feeds off that motivation. I don't think it was a huge inspiration for them. I think that they've kind of been playing pretty focused baseball aside from game one. I think game one is what woke them up, because that was the worst game I've seen this team play in a long time. I mean, they, not in any area of the game did they perform well. They were sloppy all over the place, and they just played great baseball ever since.
Jason, how does the pitching rotation line up, considering that there are a few days until the start of the World Series on Tuesday?
Yeah, they got time. So Chris Sale, I mean, they need this rest for him. I mean, he was in the hospital for over 24 hours with a stomach illness, and obviously couldn't make his start tonight that he was supposed to pitch, which is why Price went on short rest. So now he's going to get time, and he should be ready to go with plenty of rest for game one. And yeah, everybody knows his numbers. When he's on extra rest in his career, he's got an ERA under 2. So he's not going to be easy to beat if it's against Kershaw. We'll see if the Dodgers end up pulling that one out, but that could be a fun matchup. And we'll see what they do in game two. I still don't know if they're going to want to go with Price or Eovaldi. You know, Eovaldi's pitched so well, and then they have the luxury of being able to bring him back out of relief, and he's pitched so well out of relief, too, that you wonder if they'd want him to go in game two. But now Price has his first postseason win as a starter and had that performance. So I don't know who they're going to go to in game two, but they have a couple options.
Just before I let you go, how much of a relief was it to have Craig Kimbrel go relatively drama-free in closing out the ALCS?
They might have fixed something because, you know, they were talking yesterday about how there's been a lot going on with his delivery and his mechanics, and they weren't sure if maybe he was tipping his pitches because nobody was swinging at his curveball. The whiff rate on that pitch was cut in half in this postseason. The swing rate was cut in half. Everyone was just looking at it like they knew it was coming. And his fastball has been so wild that, you know, it's been pretty easy for opponents to just sit back on it and smoke it when you get a good one and just ignore the curveball, especially if they knew it was coming. Tonight it seemed like they fixed whatever the problem was. Maybe it was tipping, maybe it was mechanical, maybe it was nothing. But Craig Kimbrel looked like his actual normal self tonight. And they're going to need him if they're going to win a 7-game series against the Dodgers or the Brewers.
He's in Houston with the Boston Herald covering the Red Sox. The Astros now dispatched, but Boston moves on to the World Series. Jason Mastrodonato, you can find him on Twitter at J, and then his last name. I'm going to spell it. Mastrodonato. Jason, thanks so much for a couple of minutes. Safe travels back to Boston.
All right, Amy. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.